Guys, welcome to another episode of The Pulse. We talk to people who are doing cool things. We hear their story. I love the fact that we get a little bit more depth. And I especially love it when it's somebody who's got a Philly connection, who's doing all those things. So, actor, you did kind of the social media growth process, doing it. You've produced your own stuff. Philly's own. Can we still say that?
You can still say Philly's own because this is where I was made for sure.
Okay, Milan Carter. Thank you for coming in.
I appreciate you having me, man. Feels good to be home.
Absolutely. So things are going well? You like stopping in through Philly?
Hey, it's always a great time. You know, my brother now has two pizza restaurants. Actually, no, two restaurants. One is Down North Pizza. He's opening up Out West at the end of this month. So it's just dope to see my family winning and home becomes this special place. So it's dope.
We'll talk a little bit more about that. I went over and did a story with your brother over at the pizza place and all the things that they're doing. They're doing good stuff.
It's amazing, man. Yeah. So for him to be locked down for so long and now finding his lane and really shining in such a positive way is dope. I'm proud little brother.
Okay. We will talk about him. Let's talk about you. Yes. So doing big things now, like people know FUBAR, another season, all that. How'd you get here? Like the journey from Philly.
Woo!
It's a long journey.
Ah, man. So I love this. So basically, I was going to school in South Jersey for a little bit, and I was living with my mom, and I wound up getting into an altercation with my stepfather and got kicked out at gunpoint.
Oh.
So I was one of the best academic high schools in South Jersey at the time, Williamstown High School, and I went from there to, at the time, one of the worst academic high schools in Philly, Overbrook High. When my dad went there, it was a magnet school. First black astronaut, guy in Buford, went there.
Yeah.
And also, Will Smith happened to go there.
Yeah.
And I was like, how am I going to get a scholarship to college? Because I have to figure something out. I have no money. So I did mock trial. And my principal, Ethelyn Payne Young at the time, she went and seen me doing one of our mock trial competitions. We almost made it to the city championship because the team the year before all got scholarships. I was like, that time of getting to college. She seen me speak, and she said, hey, you speak a little bit different than everyone here. I got this thing coming up, and I want you to do something with it. But she wouldn't tell me what it was. And I was like, all right, cool. And you always had to wear a uniform. It was a black polo shirt with either white, with tan slacks or black slacks, and I was never in uniform. So one day, I'm walking in the hall, and she says, Milan Carter, come here right now. I swore I was in trouble. But that was her saying, hey, the event that I told you about is next week. Are you ready to do it? Can I count on you? I said, for sure.
And still didn't know what it was.
Still had no idea.
Okay.
It happened to be co-hosting MTV's TRL with Will Smith.
Stop playing.
It's the craziest thing ever, right? So
was he coming there? They were sending you out.
This is when his song Switch had came out, right? So he's promoting his song and his high school week on TRL. And he said, I want my high school to come on there. And my principal picked me to be the spokesperson. Now, I had just came back to Brooke, and, you know, everyone's like, yo, how does he get to speak? How is he the chosen one when I'm SGA president? I've been here for this long. And my wife always likes to say favor ain't fair. It was in, you know, and I also believe opportunity meaning preparation. I always was practicing public speaking. I always enjoyed being on a stage, and I guess my principal saw something in me. So we go to MTV's TRL, and in between takes, I'm like, yo, Will, I've always wanted to meet you, man. And he reached out his hand to shake it, and I hit him with the, I'll just play it with you. And then in between
you Fresh Prince the Fresh Prince.
100%. Always. He didn't see it coming. Then I gave him my autograph. I said, well, you know, I just came back to Brooke, and this is why you brought us here. Here you go. So I just had a fun time, and I'd never really been starstruck. Now, I've been girlstruck, but never starstruck.
Okay.
And 2 days later, Will hits my principal up and says, hey, I want to take some kids to South Africa to meet Nelson Mandela and make sure the funny guy goes. And
really?
I was like,
so all of this, like, this just happened. Like, there was no plan. And the unfortunate part of getting to Overbrook, but even then, you were like, okay, this is unfortunate. I got to figure out a plan. But it wasn't, I'm going to act, I'm going to host.
Well, yes and no. So growing up, I have 5 older brothers. 4 of them are all D1 athletes. And so, you know, growing up in Philly in the 90s, in the hood, saying, yo, I want to act. I want to be in theater. They like, whoa, you sure, bro? You want to tell us a little something? He's like, no, I'm cool. I'll hoop. Yeah. So sports just naturally became the thing. But as I, you know, got older, I started to find my own voice. And I think, you know, from getting kicked out, they're all going off to college, and it's just me on my own. I had to find my own identity. Okay. And I loved acting. And when I was going to those schools in South Jersey, I was in a few acting classes. But then when I got kicked out and went to Brooke, they didn't have any acting classes. Mm. And at the time, they were celebrating AYP. They had pep rallies for AYP, which stands for Adequate Yearly Progress. And I was like, yeah. I went from AP courses to right. celebrating this. Like,
to our numbers have gone up on how many over 50% can read.
Exactly.
Yeah. So, no disrespect to Brooke, but that, I mean, that's what AYP is. You're mm-hmm. making progress year to year.
Exactly.
But that doesn't mean progress to 100%. It just means growth.
Exactly. So okay. So the metric was quite different, but it also became a blessing in disguise. So my grades were weighted. I went from being ranked like number 90 to tied for number 2. So because of that, I got a full academic scholarship to Lincoln University. Got a chance to go to South Africa, meet Nelson Mandela. And Will Smith also bought a laptop, a printer, and also an iPod for everybody that graduated and went on to college. So because of that, my mindset changed on what was possible. And that's when I really started to go hard for my dreams.
So that's amazing for a couple of reasons. One, we just actually had a pretty spirited debate on another show about whether or not Will Smith is doing enough for Philadelphia. It's interesting because those types of things people aren't as aware of, that he's doing every day, but you didn't necessarily have a press conference to announce that I'm looking out for for people here. So that's amazing. You got that journey. That started the I can believe, I can be whatever. Mm-hmm. Like that started the belief in yourself.
Absolutely.
But you still didn't have a gig.
Nope.
You still didn't really have, I mean, you knew Will Smith, but you didn't really know Will. Like mm-hmm. you didn't know him, like, put me in your show.
I wasted my favor.
Okay.
So after we go to South Africa, a year later, he comes back for Charlie Mack's Peace for the Streets weekend.
Yeah.
And I see him, and, you know, Charlie brings everybody. And it was this woman named Kyla Pratt, who I used to have on my binder.
Kyla Pratt's been on this show.
Yes. Kyla was one of the very few black girls on TV that, mm-hmm. you know, you could aspire to. And she was in town. So I said, Will, I need a favor. He said, anything, Milan, I got you.
You didn't
anything.
Ask for the meet Kyla Pratt. Not help me with my career. Not how can I be down?
I was 18 and dumb. If I could take any favors back, it would be that one. I said, Will,
man,
I need you to hitch me to Kyla Pratt. He said, what? I said, you heard me. Hitch me to Kyla Pratt. He said, all right, Milan, that's what you want? And he looked me in my face like,
said to you,
are you
this
sure?
Is what you're using the favor on?
I said, yes. So literally, he's speaking at the juvenile detention center, and it starts to rain. So we all get put in a holding room, and he looks at me. He says, Milan, you ready? And I said, I ain't never been more ready. So so he goes, hey,
you were
Kyla,
doing something.
I thought I was doing something. Listen, okay. My dreams were being made in right. this moment.
I'm going to meet Kyla Pratt.
Will Smith is going to introduce me to the girl of my dreams? Come on now. How can I lose? So he says, Kyla, I want you to meet my good boy, Milan. Man, we just went to South Africa last year. Greatest pickup line ever. And now he's in college. He's doing amazing things. I really think you two would really connect. And I was like, all right, bet.
So he went in for you.
He went in. She was like, oh, hello, handsome. That's what her eyes said.
Okay. That's not what her mouth said?
Her mouth did not say that. But I felt the energy. And I was all the way up here.
All right. So this is still going well.
Still going. And then 5 seconds later, Charlie Mack comes and grabs my shoulder, grabs her shoulder, and says, I'm glad you guys finally met. Because we went to South Africa, Kyla. He talked about you every day. You should really give him a chance. I
so
went from
Charlie
here,
had your back.
No.
Too.
No. No. He overstepped.
That's Charlie, though.
Very
that's
much
Charlie. I know
very
Charlie for years. trying to help, but that one was like, oh, man.
So my dreams came true for half a second.
Right.
And that was what I wasted the favor on, because she looked at me like, oh, my goodness, this is a dope dude. I can't wait to meet right. him. To, oh, you're right. just a fan.
Yeah.
Stalking me.
You went from somebody she was going to talk to the fan.
Exactly.
In that Charlie, man. come on, Charlie. But I mean, things. All right. So that moment. You wasted favor.
I wasted favor. So then from that, when
I think Charlie owes you, by the way.
I think so too.
You should call him out on that.
Charlie, Hey, I need my get back, please. Yeah, yeah. I need it.
He owes you a little bit. All
right. So yeah, I went to Lincoln, and I wound up getting 2 degrees in journalism. So I said, when I move to LA, I'm an actor host. And I wound up getting an internship with Kevin Frazier from Entertainment Tonight. Mm-hmm. And I interned with him for, about 6-7 months? And then they lost their cameraman for his production company. He was like, are you ready? And I was like,
for what?
To be a cameraman. And I was like, okay, not really. And the first thing I ever did was the ESPYs red carpet. All my footage was blurry. Everything. I thought I was getting fired that day. But Kevin kept believing in me and gave me another chance. And, you know, many people don't know, Kevin was a cameraman for like 10 years before he ever got in front of the camera. So he takes it very serious. So he told me everything I needed to know behind it. And he said, the better you are behind the camera, the better you will be in front. So when the time comes, you'll be ready. So I worked for him for 3 years, became the DP of his production company. And then it was time for me to spread my wings and actually get in front of the camera. And it was like, he didn't provide an opportunity for that because I was too valuable behind the camera. And we had actually did like a stint with Dip Dive. That was Will.i.am's production company at the time. And one of our guest hosts got sick and somebody had to do the show that day. And I was like, hey, I'm here.
Put me in, coach. I'm ready to go.
And it was Sporting Thursday, so I got a chance to get in front of the camera, and that's when I really got the bug again. I was like, this is what I need to be doing. And I was Will.i.am's favorite, so I got to go on every Thursday, even though Kevin thought I wasn't ready. He was very much a father figure in my life. But eventually, I walked away from Kevin and in the working relationship, and I went to Vibe Magazine. I started producing for them, and they had an open slot for movie interviewers. So I would start going to movie junkets, and I had a show called Movies with Milan, and that's when I start working with a lot of celebrities and doing all the behind the scenes for movie junkets. And instead of doing regular interviews, I did sketches.
Okay.
And that's what started to catch on, and I started to put them on my Instagram, and then people say, oh, does this dude act as well? And then Vibe had a big layoff. They fired everybody from original content, and I had just did the junket for Equalizer. Antoine Farqua and Denzel Washington gave me some bars. Because as you know, it's not a lot of black men in journalism. Yeah. So when you go to these junkets, I was one of maybe three.
Okay.
So they were giving me some gems. And I'm driving to the studio like, yo, I can't wait to put this up. It's about to go crazy. My engineer says, hey, Milan, I know you're on your way to the studio, but we just got laid off. And I was like, well, can you just ask him to open the studio real quick?
Before you got back with the stuff, you got fired with the gems in the car
my pocket.
With you.
No one has ever seen this interview. It is sitting on those big old like SD cards, compact flash cards, just sitting in my garage right now because I was never able to release
it. Even now. You should release it now.
Bet.
No, I'm legit. Okay. You should release it now. You still have this?
I do.
This is part of your story now.
You're a genius.
I mean, we'll take it. And we can sit there and use it. We can use it as B-roll. We'll like put it in the song. But that's legit. And what's crazy about this is I'm a big like audiobook, reading book, people's inspirational stories and whatnot. And right now I'm reading Jay Glazer's.
Okay.
Jay Glazer.
Yep.
And I'm listening to you talk, and it's very similar in that, you know, it took 10 years to become an overnight success.
Facts.
Now, and everybody sits back. I used to have a mentor who was like, people see your glory but rarely understand the story.
Mm-hmm.
And you're listening to this whole story, like you were grinding in a lot of different ways. No, none of which, I mean, they all prepared you, I guess, but none of them were leading to this, right?
No.
Like they weren't a direct path.
Not at all.
And I blame Charlie Mack.
I was supposed to be a kept man.
Right? But that would have messed things up now. Now, is Kyla married? Kyla, take your call.
She's not married, but I am happily married. My wonderful wife, Ashley, and two beautiful kids.
My bad, Miss Carter. Like, I wasn't trying to do that. I'm just following the story. So it was, at what point when you're going through all of that, was it okay, I can do this in front of the camera, I have the opportunity to do this, like I'm taking that step?
It was actually during the movie junkets and all the press, you ever leave work not fully satisfied. It's like, I ate, but I'm not fulfilled. Okay. And that's when I realized, like, I know I'm a journalist, but I feel like I should be creating more of my original stories and telling more of the stories that I wanted to tell. And I was like, maybe I'm in the wrong seat. And getting laid off by Vibe was the Kickstarter for it all. Because I had to go back to the drawing board. It's like, all right, what would you do for free? And I love telling stories. I can tell stories all day long and mm-hmm. learn stories. And I was like, all right, let me do that. So I started driving Uber and working at restaurants. And one of my first Uber passengers was an executive at Sony who had just hired me or brought me out to do a Think Like a Man junket. And I'm driving, I see him in my back seat. I don't want to look back, He says, Milan, is that you? I was like, yeah, man. He said, you drive Uber? I said, you know, I'm doing an editorial piece. So
I'm working on a story on other people's grind to the top.
Exactly. And right. It was very humbling. And, you know, but I had to take my licks. But I realized that driving Uber was a way to hone my comedic voice, my comedic timing, and deliver in the line and, like, you know, to passengers and see, does this work? How does this cadence work? Do people respond to that? And it was like my testing grounds. So from that, I started creating more online content. And one of my friends who happened to be working for a commercial agent was like, hey, do you have a commercial agent? And I was like, nah, how you get one of those? She said, well, I just start working at one. I would love to bring you on as a client. And I was like, all right, bet. So I think this whole story is about opportunity meeting preparation. So basically she brought me in. She was like, I don't think people can book commercials with beards. Because at the time, you know, everybody was clean shaving. I was like, well, I'm not shaving my beard. This is going to stay.
Good man.
And I went from the sketch world where you do the most. So I didn't realize that at commercial auditions, especially self-tapes, you're not supposed to do the most. Well, I did, and I wound up booking an Old Spice commercial, and then things just start rolling. They said, maybe don't cut your beard. Keep going. And from that, I wound up 1 year, I think I booked about 14 commercials in 1 year. And I'm still working at a restaurant because I'm doing a lot of non-union commercials that aren't paying a lot.
Man.
So I'm on TV, but I'm not really, you know, I'm still working at a restaurant. So this man comes and approached me in my restaurant, and he says, oh, look at him. Isn't he so handsome? And he tells everybody else, I was like, oh my goodness, is this about to be a casting couch situation? Because I hope you know I can fight. So long story short, he says, take a meeting with me. I take a meeting with him. And he's working at Buckwald at the time. And it's on the 31st floor of Fairfax and Wilshire, right in the heart of LA. And I got this crazy panoramic view. And he's like, yo, you want to do this? And I said, where do I sign? If this is the office I get to look at every day, sign with him. A month later, I booked a McDonald's SAG National commercial, walked into work, quit, and never looked back.
Wow.
And that's when everything started to, like, click for me. It was like, oh, this is what I'm supposed to be doing. And shortly after that...
How long's that journey?
Phew. So
like
that,
10 years?
I'm about 10 years in the game at the time. So
before that break, like, you were working.
I'm still working, and it's like, yeah, that's a commercial break. And it's like, people don't know, when it comes to acting, commercial actors and theatrical TV actors are two very different things.
Right. Unless you can make money, but that's not necessarily your career path.
Exactly. Unless you're Flo or Jake from State Farm, like, you're never a known commodity. And so I started doing that, and I was like, all right, how do I get to the next level? And I wound up meeting this wonderful woman named Jamie Yarrow, and, you know, two different young ladies that I knew introduced me to her, and she heard my story. She's like, I'll take you on as a client. And she was like, I know you're probably not going to book a series regular anytime soon, but how it all comes full circle. Do good things for people. Show up for people. Always be of service. Yes. Kevin Frazier, worked for him, always did right by him. One thing I left out of my story is I didn't have a car when I first moved to LA. I would show up to all my shoots, and he never knew how. Until one day he was riding home and I was riding next to him on my bike. He looked out the window and said, Milan, I said, you be riding your bike all over the city? I said,
I gotta get there.
It's the only vehicle I have. Yeah. He said, no way. This is before Uber, this is before anything. And he's like, I need to hire you. And that's why he wound up hiring me as his cameraman and really believed in me because he saw my work ethic. Fast forward years later, I'm in acting class at Leslie Kahn in Los Angeles. My girlfriend auditions for this pilot. Leslie Odom, who's from Philly, and Kerry Washington, create this pilot on ABC. She's auditioning for it. She gets a call back, and I'm like, yo, I kind of want to be a part of this. She said, you should. And I reach out to my manager. She can't get me in the room. But guess whose picture is at the bottom of it?
Charlie Mack. No?
Hilarious. Not Charlie Mack this time.
Okay.
But it happens to be Kevin Frazier's neighbor.
Okay.
It happens to be someone that his kids grew up with. And because I'm part of his family now, I say, yo, Kev, I see your boy is actually the producer of this whole thing. So every year we go on paintball trips for Kevin's son's birthday, and he's one of the parents that are there. So he says, hey, I said, Kev, can you just get me an audition? You don't have to try to get me a role. I just want to get in the room and I can do the rest myself. The dude says, his name is Saladin Patterson. He says, have Milan send me his materials. If he's funny, I'll let him audition. And this is when opportunity meets preparation. I put together all the sketches I did on Instagram, chop it into a reel. I send it off to Saladin. I say, hey, if I knew that you were a TV writer, I wouldn't have shot you so much in paintball. And he was like,
he's funny.
He's funny.
And talented.
He looked at all my stuff and said, yo, you are funny. I'll let you audition. And I get an opportunity to go in the room and audition for him, Kerry Washington, and Leslie Odom. And again, I do the unexpected. They say, normally you're going to audition, go there, do your job, and show up. But Kerry Washington made the mistake of asking me how I'm doing.
You like telling stories.
I love telling stories. See, there's a theme here. I said, I'm amazing with a capital A. And she looked at me like, what? I said, no, seriously. I met the girl of my dreams. I just don't know how to propose.
This is true? You're just making this up at the time.
This is a fact. So Okay. Basically, and it all, you know, kids met, it all worked together, you know. And I took my now wife to Philly. She met all my family, and it's around Christmas. And then, you know, I also said that in the story, Leslie Odom from Philly Connection. And then I said I went to Alabama to meet her folks. Saladin Patterson's from Alabama. And then I asked her dad for a hand in marriage before we were leaving. And 5 minutes later, he told her. The whole room was like, what? They were so invested in my story. I said, yeah, he told her. So now I don't know how to propose. So everybody started giving out ideas. Fred Savage was like, you just got to break up with her. I said, are you going to pay for therapy? And then Kerry Washington had another suggestion. So it just became this fun little bit before I even said a word of the script. So we're talking for like 10, 15 minutes. And then afterwards, Saladin was like, you ready to do these lines? And I was like, all right, bet.
But you were already comfortable with everybody in the room, and they were already comfortable with you just because you went in there being you and being real person.
They said I was already the guy. All I had to do was be able to deliver the copy. And I set the bar so high because I was competing against Leslie Odom's college friends. I was competing against people who had way more credits than me, because at the time I had zero TV credits. But it was because I went in there, I was myself, I was true, and I was just having fun. Because if you're not having fun at doing what you're doing, why are you doing that?
You can tell. I mean, it's obvious that you enjoy this. It's obvious that the whole journey is still fun for you. So there's all these things, and I was reading that things like that. Mm-hmm. Like, you did a bunch of pilots.
Yes.
Like, you were involved in a bunch of pilots. You were making all of these connections, but they weren't necessarily getting picked up. So how do you get from those to FUBAR? Like, is it fair to say that FUBAR is the big break?
FUBAR is 100% the big break.
Okay.
Being pilot boy is scary because you keep getting these shows and then they don't get picked up, and it doesn't really do much for your career. It's like, I'm the greatest actor no one's ever heard of, right? And it's just like, I can't put it in my reel. So people are like, hey, do you have any material? I booked this pilot that I don't even have the tape for.
Right.
So it's just like, it's not really moving the needle. And then also what happens sometimes is if you keep booking a pilot, your quote can get a little bit higher, just a little bit higher. So now my quote is a decent number, but the next person has 15 guest stars. And you've seen all of their stuff, but you ain't seen nothing I do. So it's like, now I'm losing out on other roles. So it got kind of heavy. Got kind of sad, but when this opportunity came across my desk, I was like, this is me. I've been a nerd all my life. I'm gonna give my spin on it. And I may have did at least 100 takes of it. Changed my outfits, coached with different people, retaped it again, and I put it all on the line. And literally, Nick Santora said, he was combing through the tapes and he seen it. And he was like, this dude in the cat shirt, he's it. That's the guy. And that is how it all came to fruition. He's seen it, and it was truly invested.
When you get that call, all right, so you've been grinding. You're doing all these different things. You're good. You're creative. People like you, but you haven't booked the big thing.
Yep.
And then it is, all right, Schwarzenegger, you know, you're going to be doing this, playing a major role. What's that like after all this grinding, get that call?
I wish it was that simple. The craziest part about it all is I cut my hair right before I get the call. So I did the audition.
And your hair was not cut.
I did the audition in January.
Okay.
A month goes by, I don't hear anything. It's about to be pilot season. I'm like, yo, I have to do something different because I never get to book, you know, white collar workers. I'm never, you know, a law enforcement officer. I'm never a doctor. I never get callbacks for these things. So maybe if I cut my hair, it'll be different. And this is Super Bowl Sunday. I think the Eagles are in the Super Bowl. Cut my hair. I get a phone call from my manager. Remember that Arnold Schwarzenegger project you auditioned for and you turned it to go? Well, they want to meet with you today. I was like, today as in like Super Bowl Sunday today? I was like, yeah, do they know they cut? I cut my hair? She said, well, it makes you more CIA. I get on a Zoom with Nick Santor and he's like,
you cut your hair.
But he did it in a way where, you know, white people sometimes a little bit, he didn't know if it was, he said,
he wasn't
hey,
sure
Milan,
he was
like,
that.
He was like, hey, did you change your hair by chance? I said, yeah, I went to get a shape up, barber messed up, and here we are now. Yeah,
but it'll grow back.
But it'll grow back.
Quickly.
He said, how long?
Okay.
I said, that was 6 years worth of hair. 6 years worth of hair gone. And it was crickets. So it was dry for a while, and I didn't think I was going to get it. And then my son is born on a Saturday. And then that Monday, they said, hey, remember that Arnold project? They still want to meet with you. Can you do a chemistry read on Friday? I was like, bet. I'll do anything with a baby in my arms because it's all on Zoom. It's still in the pandemic. And now I'm on Zoom with Arnold Schwarzenegger, and nothing can prepare you to read with him.
Okay.
Because
you can't understand what he's saying.
Not. I ain't say that.
I said it. I'm not trying to get booked on the show. I mean, I'll take the role.
So, but honestly, it was one of those things. The casting director said, hey, this is like a TV procedural. So everything is fast and clippy. So I'm coaching with everybody and their mama, making sure that I'm doing this at the pace that is faster than the speed of light. You read with Arnold. Arnold's like, I'm like, the bomb's going to blow up. Oh my gosh, this man is going to, you know, make the whole world die. And Arnold's like, okay. That's right. So what do we do, Barry? And I was like, and then Arnold comes back. I said, Arnold, this is not how I rehearsed it. Like, maybe
you told Arnold?
No.
I need you to pick up the pace a little bit.
Pick up the pace. And literally, I did that twice. So I did two takes. I was like, this is horrible. I'm like, one, is he senile? Can he still act? But
what so my line was offensive, yeah. But you're okay.
Because the thing is,
bad.
What I learned later is Arnold didn't know his lines. So, because again, you number one on the call sheet, you don't have to know your lines until you get to set.
Yeah, I already got the job.
I got the job. You don't. So I'm like, oh, you're horrible because you're reading and you barely can see what you're reading. It's like, okay, cool. So what I did was I asked for one more take. I said, Arnold, can we just do this one more time? He said, what kind of bodybuilder would I be if I ain't want to do reps? I said, bet.
That's my dude right there.
That's my guy. So what I did this time, I said, you know, forget about trying to shine. Forget about all the notes from the casting director. My job is to set it up for Arnold to knock a home run. So basically, I just listened to him and just lived in the moment, moment by moment, did it at his pace. And that was the take that allowed me to book it.
Okay. Did he ever say, get to the chopper? while you were sitting there
He did not say get to the chopper, but he did bring out his donkey Lulu in the middle of my audition. So imagine putting your life on the line thinking, yo, this is my big break. And everybody sees the donkey come in eating carrots. And they're like, oh, look at the donkey. Milan doesn't matter anymore.
Nah, you should have told him I'll be back. Keep going. So you get FUBAR. It's an unbelievable success.
Thank you.
Right? It's number one, they're throwing statistics out there. I have some of them written down, like billions of minutes of watch time on Netflix, like crazy.
Mm-hmm.
That changed your life?
100%. Like, I am now in a room of people I've never would have thought of being in. I am now friends with all of Arnold's friends, and they actually know me on a first name basis. And the fact that Arnold is not just a coworker, but he's an actual friend. Like, okay. I call him. He may not pick up the first time, but he's going to call me back. If I have an idea, Arnold's always going to pour into that idea, follow up on it weeks later. If I say I want to do stand-up, if I say I want to start a nonprofit, he's going to check to see if I'm doing the work and see how he can help. So my life has changed, not just in a financial way, but in a community friendship way. I am blessed because I have a whole new community.
Okay, so the whole grind was worth it at this point?
The whole grind is definitely worth it at this point. And it's like I'm standing on answered prayers, and I was able to get a house in Los Angeles. So
okay.
I'm okay.
My dude. Now we got a place to stay in Los Angeles.
Yep, pull up on it.
To hang out. Charlie's out there too. So season two,
yes,
of FUBAR, like, just started.
Mm-hmm. Came out today. Yesterday. I have no idea what day it is. Yes.
Okay.
June 12th came out, Father's Day weekend, family show. So we're here for you.
So tremendous success first time. You always knew there was going to be season two, or you had to wait to find out?
Oh, no. You have to wait. So we're sitting here on pins and needles. We were like, we think we got a great show. We think we have something that's original, something that's different, but you have no idea how the world's going to receive it. And it was scary because it was not only the writer's strike, but the SAG strike shortly followed. Mm-hmm. So we weren't able to really do as much press. We, you know, just had to maybe post online, and then other people wouldn't repost you because it's like, hey, I'm a writer, I'm on strike, so I can't really support, right, but I'll send you a DM saying good work. So you don't know how it's going to hit the numbers for Netflix, because they're all about metrics. If you don't hit their numbers, you don't get another season.
Wow. Okay, so you had to wait. Then you hear about it.
Mm-hmm.
After buying a house in L.A.
No. The house comes when you get season two. Season two is coming. Now I got the house.
Okay, fair enough. So that then exciting, kind of continuing to grow.
Continuing to grow, absolutely. And it was interesting because, you know, we've been shooting every other year. Would I love to shoot every year? Yes. But yes, it was a long wait in between. So it was a sign of relief to know, like, oh, after the writer's strike, after this, we are still coming back and they still believe in us. So it was a dope experience for me to go back to Toronto again to shoot season two.
Okay. Couple more questions. I appreciate you spending this much time with us. I encourage everybody to check it out. Watch. Let's get those numbers up. There's season three.
Two thumbs up.
He got a mortgage.
Yes.
Got to continue to look out. So what's next? Like, when you're doing something like that, do you have to kind of stay locked in on that, or can you also, you know, look for additional projects?
You can still look for additional projects, but in the acting world, you have this thing called, like, options. And so when you sign on for a series, it's in first place, first position.
Right.
So basically, any job I get next has to come second to FUBAR or work around that schedule. So it does make it a little bit challenging. So right now, my team, we're targeting more so movies and also like guest stars and stuff until we figure out what's happening with, God willing, we get a season three.
Yeah.
So yeah, right now we're actively pursuing multiple roles and going out for different things. And for me, I realize as an artist, sometimes we can get in our heads and we not do things. So I'm creating a series on YouTube called Standing in My Own Way. So just, it's like, yes, maybe I booked 40 commercials. I'm on a Netflix series with Arnold Schwarzenegger, but my name is Milan Carter, and I stand in my own way. But today, I'm going to step aside. And it just goes through different things, whether it's taking your work too precious, really not believing in yourself, procrastination, and really, because perfection is just procrastination. So I love to give tips and to help other artists figure out a way to get out of their way to really shine and thrive and make it to the best level they can.
Man, you should write a book. No, legit. Like, yeah. I think that you could take this interview. I mean, you can't take this interview because we own it, but you could take the concepts in this interview. And it really is a journey through the process for a book, for people to sit back and go, huh. So with all of these different steps, and I went off this direction and that direction, and I'm still getting, you know, to where I need to be. That's an inspiring message. I appreciate you sharing it.
Appreciate it. Thank you for that.
So we end all episodes of The Pulse, the whole theme, and you've said it multiple times during this discussion, but it's the concept of use your voice for good.
Mm-hmm.
When you hear the phrase use your voice for good, what does it mean to you?
Stealing this from Arnold is be useful.
Okay.
I feel like so often we can be worried about ourselves, but we all are supporting characters in other people's story. And when you think of supporting characters, they either are taking away from the protagonist or they're adding to it. So are you adding to someone's life or are you subtracting? And I think if you always have that mindset that I want to add, I think that's how you can always be useful in this world.
Appreciate you, man. Continued Absolutely. Success.
Thank you so much, man. Appreciate you for having me.
Guys, thanks so much for listening to the Pulse with Bill Anderson podcast. Today with actor Milan Carter. I hope you enjoy that interview as much as I did. He's a Philly guy, but he also has a story of so many challenges he overcame, but he remained committed, he remained positive, he stayed on the journey, and it ultimately has led to a path of success. I was inspired, and I hope you were as well. Do me a favor, hit the like, subscribe, follow, whatever it says on your screen that lets you get a notification every week when another episode of The Pulse comes out. I also encourage you to download the Fox Local app. That way you can watch all of the episodes right there on demand. And hit me up on social media at BillAFox29. I love hearing from you and interacting. Thank you so much for listening. As always, I appreciate you, and I leave you as I always do, reminding you whenever you can, use your voice for good and have a good one.